cheated today. This is an honest confession. What did it say? Good confessions, good honest confessions, good for the soul, or something like that, they say. I was talking to my son this week. He came down to visit us, and he's a preacher up in near Towanda. And I was telling him, I said, I'm struggling with Mother's Day. It always seems like I've preached most of the things in the Bible about mothers over the years, and to come up with a new Mother's Day message sometimes is hard. And he said, oh, don't worry about that. He said, I'll send you the one I'm preaching. I said, hey, that's a good idea. I said, send it to me. So he emailed it to me, and it sounded pretty good, so I thought I'd preach it this morning to you. So if you don't like it, it's his fault. Actually, I reworked it and changed some of it, and so his outline is still the same. But anyway, Anna Jarvis first suggested a national observance of Mother's Day. She, at her memorial service for her mother, started giving carnations to everyone who came, and I think that became a national kind of observance. But anyway, the idea of honoring mothers gained traction. Many cities observed it in the years to come, but it wasn't until 1914, by an act of Congress, that President Woodrow Wilson proclaimed the second Sunday in May as Mother's Day. He established that day for an expression of our love and reverence for the mothers in our country. It is a relevant topic to talk about mothers, for there are about 4 babies born each second of every day. There are 2 billion moms in the world and 84 million in the U.S. A few things I've read about Mother's Day, reading many cards for Mother's Day, I found the perfect one. It said, Mom, I just wanted to say congratulations. I turned out perfectly. How's that for prideful? Anyway, Jill Churchill says there's no way to be a perfect mother, but a million ways to be a good one. Mark Twain says, my mother had a great deal of trouble with me, but I think she enjoyed it. Susan Gale says, mothers are like glue. Even when you can't see them, they're still holding the family together. Mothers do influence our children in a great way and have influenced our country. But sadly, the influence of the feminist movement has caused motherhood to decline. Women are encouraged to find fulfillment in careers rather than in raising children. However, I'm aware that for some, this is a difficult day. There are some, perhaps here, who wanted to be mothers, but for some reason couldn't be mothers. Maybe some of you have had extremely bad mothers. I think when I was a child, I thought I had a bad mother. But the older I get, the more profound and the better she's looking in my eyes. Some of you have lost your mothers, and this is a difficult day. For some, you have lost children to death, and some of you are feeling the pain, perhaps, of a wayward child. And some of you mothers are flying solo, and you're working to nurture your child alone. And so for you, my heart sympathizes with you, because motherhood is a difficult job. However, sometimes the fulfillment of dreams, God has chosen not to allow that. And so I understand Mother's Day is not always a fun day for everyone, and I can appreciate that. I want you to know God cares. God knows. And I know. And the church people, you all know the pain of suffering and going through difficult times. But this is Mother's Day, and so today we want to take a moment and honor mothers. If we were to think today, can you name some mothers off the top of your head from Bible, famous mothers that you would say, oh, this is a famous mother from the Bible? Why, you're quick. Hannah? I didn't hear some of the others. Sarah. Elizabeth, Rachel, Rebecca, Eve. Yeah, lots of them we could name that are famous mothers in the Bible. How about the most famous one that most people honor? Mary, the mother of the Lord. And that's what I've chosen. I didn't choose it. My son did. I'll give him credit. He decided to use the life of Mary to honor mothers today. We want to look at her life, perhaps, and just see some things that we ought to be honoring mothers for that are typical of mothers, most mothers. And so we want to honor mothers today. Great mothers, number one, believe that God can do the impossible. Many mothers have gone through very difficult times and prayed their heart out because of a difficulty. And they have learned to believe and to pray seriously, believing that God could do the impossible in their life. And so that's exactly what we find in Mary's life. And I want us to look at that for a moment. Mary obviously believed the word of God. Remember, the angel came to Mary and told her some very, very unusual news to her. And if you go back in Luke chapter 1, in verse 26, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man named Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin named Mary. And the angel came in and said unto her, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And so this unusual message came to her, and you know the rest of the story, that she was told she was going to bear a son. And this son was going to be born to her before she was married. And it is interesting to me, I guess as I read through this, it dawned on me that Mary didn't doubt. Remember Zacharias, when he was told that his wife was going to have a baby in their old age and she had been barren all of her life? What happened to Zacharias? Did he believe the angel? No. And he was punished for that, wasn't he? He said, you're not going to be able to speak for till the baby's born. Because he doubted. You know what? Here's the same thing. An angel came and told Mary that she's going to have a baby, and she had no idea how, but she didn't doubt. What was her question? Can you remember? Exactly. How's this going to happen? Not doubting that it was going to happen, but just how is it going to come about? That's interesting to me because she didn't doubt at all. Her faith was real that if the angel said so, it was going to happen, but curiosity, I could have maybe got the best ever to say, exactly how is this going to happen? And then she was told that the Holy Spirit was going to cause this to happen. And then you know her response. She just believed it. She just said, okay, I'm on board. I'm okay. I'm here to do whatever you wish. That's just interesting to me that she believed that God could do the impossible. Imagine. I mean, later on I'm going to use this illustration again, but imagine her trying to tell her friends, explain to her friends why she's pregnant. Think that through. Yeah, God came and told me I'm going to have a baby, and the Holy Spirit is going to make me pregnant. Imagine her friends. They're going to say, you're crazy. Natural reaction, right? It just doesn't happen. And she'd say, well, God told me, and I believe God. And they're going to say, right. Yeah, that's the way it always works. No. Mary had to have great faith that God was able to do the impossible in spite of what anybody else said to her. And I'm impressed with Mary believing, and I think that many mothers have truly believed, been in difficult spots in their life, and they have just trusted God. They've prayed believing that God could do the impossible for them. In fact, I read about Susanna Wesley. She spent 1 hour each day praying for her 17 children. Wow. Four was enough for us. 17 children. She took each child aside every week. For 1 hour, she would talk to them about the Lord individually. It's no wonder then, of course, that her two sons, Charles and John, were used of God to bring such great blessing in England and America. She believed the impossible, that with all of those children, she prayed and believed God would use them in his work. Dads, we ought to be honest and we ought to be open and we ought to set the example for believing that God can do the impossible, even with our children. My wife and I have had to practice for years now of praying individually for, mentioning the names of each of our children and grandchildren in prayer each day together, praying that God would use them and keep them on the straight and narrow way. I believe that we ought to lead by example, just as Mary set the example of saying, I just believe God. He can do the impossible, which makes no sense, but I believe he can do it. If you have a relative that's not saved, pray for them. You might say, it just seems like it's going nowhere. It seems like it's impossible for them to get saved. They're not even thinking about spiritual things. God can do the impossible. Mary just believed God that he would do the impossible. Sometimes women have a strained relationship, seeming like an impossible relationship. Perhaps on the verge of divorce, have a rebellious child, have a lost husband, bills that need to be paid, medical needs that you're praying for a miracle. Don't give up. Never say never. Mary, what are some of the things, talk to me now, what are some of the responses that people give to impossible things? One of them that came to mind is, yeah, what's our saying? I'll believe it when pigs fly. Yeah. What other sayings can you think of that people say when they don't believe something? When I see it, yeah. Yeah. Some people say, well, whatever. Just kind of dismiss it. Yeah. Mary didn't do that. Mary didn't use any of the sayings of her time, and she just completely believed it. She said, okay, Lord, how's this angel, talking to the angel, how's this going to happen? But not that she doubted that it was going to happen, but just how was it going to come about? I give her great credit, and I give our moms great credit and honor them today for believing in the impossible. In the difficult circumstances of life, they just believe God. We want to honor mothers today who've had to deal with some impossible situations and yet have just believed God. Secondly, not only did Mary, on your notes, if you're filling in that last line, God found Mary's faith worthy of honor. Look in verse 28. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored of God. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. God knew that faith that Mary had, and he wanted to honor that. He knew that he came to Mary, she would believe, and she would trust him in that matter. And I thank God, even God honored Mary's faith. We ought to certainly honor mothers who have believed God for the impossible. But not only ought we to honor mothers who believe that God can do the impossible, but also believe that they are slave of God. Look in verse 38 of Luke 1. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Mary's response, be it unto me as a handmaid. It is interesting. Mary did believe that she was a slave of God. Look in verse 48. For he hath regarded the low estate of this handmaiden. Look in verse 49. For he that is mighty hath done me great things. Holy is his name. Yeah, she believed in a mighty God, and she was his slave. We don't see that in the, what do you have in your King James Bible? It says handmaiden. It said here, I'm the handmaiden of the Lord. There are many times in the Bible in the New Testament, there's about 150 times that some form of this word is used in the Greek. And about in the Old Testament, there's over 1,100 times this word is used in the Old Testament. Do you know how many times it's translated slave? And that's the meaning of the word. It's in the Greek, it's doulos. We've often heard of that, right? Doulos is slave. And in their time period where this was written, slavery was common. Slavery means you're owned by somebody. And there were in the Greek, in the Roman culture, one out of every five people in the Roman Empire was a slave. And so slaves were, this concept was well known. But you know why it's only translated in the New Testament? Out of the 150 times it's used, you know why it's only translated slave? It's because when our English Bible was written, the King James Bible was written, slavery was taboo. And so to use the term slave just didn't seem right. And so it's only translated about two or three times as slave. Other times it's handmaiden, servant. There's other words used. I can't remember them now. But the truth is that the word always means slave. A servant, I'm a servant to my company I work for. I'm a hired servant, okay? To the Hospice for All Seasons, I'm their employee. I'm a hired servant. But I'm not their slave. I like to think I'm not anyway. I'm hired. But that's not at all what this word means. When Mary said, I'm a handmaiden of the Lord, she said, I'm a doulos of the Lord. I'm owned by God. I'm his slave, that whatever he wants to do with me, it's fine. I had to think, what does it mean to be a slave? Well, we know from the stories of Southern slavery, we kind of know the horrors of slavery. But typically, if a slave had a good master, they were treated well. They were owned by that man, by the master. He bought them. He paid for them. He took good care of them. And if they served him well, he treated them well. The truth is a slave doesn't need to worry about the problems that the master has, does he? The slave just does what he's told to do. And the master has to worry about running the problems. The difficulty with most of us is we worry about what the master's doing, don't we? We worry about what's going on in the world. Instead of just, as Mary said, I'm a slave. I'll just do whatever the master tells me to do. It was very easy if we think about it. As a slave of God, we just do what the master tells us to do. It's his business if it doesn't work, right? He asked us to do it, we just do it. It's God's problem if he's running the world to take care of all the problems of life. Mary understood that, and I honor mothers for often doing things, you know, often children and husbands. You close your ears, Rose, okay? I don't want you to hear this. Often husbands and children think their wives and mothers are their slaves. But the truth is that they do a lot of things, not because they're fun to do, not because they're easy to do, but they do them because it's their duty to do. And I thank God for mothers, just like Mary, who said, you know what? I'm a slave to God. Whatever God asks me to do, I'll do it. Mothers, thank God for you. You've done a lot of things. Who's had just a baby? Some famous over yonder? Harry and his wife. Okay. I just saw the headlines. I'm not a big fan of the hierarchy, or what is that, the king and queen? Royalty over there, I guess. Anyway, that's another subject. But the truth is that I remember seeing them come on television and welcome to the parent club. One of the commentators was saying they have no idea what's coming. You are owned by that baby. Your life completely changes. You're going to do things that you never thought you'd do before. You're 24/7 to take care of that little one. But I think mothers understand what it means more to be a slave than most people, because in America, we don't like the idea of being owned by anybody. We want to be our own person and do our own thing, and we want to be self-made. That's all going to be different than what God says we ought to be. We ought to be willing to be a slave, and mothers certainly understand that, and we honor them for that. And also, God found Mary's attitude worthy of honor, and that's why he chose her. The same thing he said, you're highly, in verse 30, he says, the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. God knew Mary would accept this responsibility and understood that she's a slave of God and would do anything he asked her to do. Thank God for mothers who are able to do that. But anyway, thirdly, not only mothers understand that God can do the impossible, they also understand they're a slave of God. They also understand that they should praise God publicly. I know many good mothers who have gone through very difficult times and experienced things that unbelievable that I would never understand, and yet their heart has been heavy, and I've heard them give testimonies in church of how thankful they are that God used them. And as a pastor, many times I know what goes on behind the scenes. I know what struggles is in their life and what we've counseled them and helped them through. And yet they can stand up and give a wonderful testimony of how God's working in their life. Look at what Mary did. As Mary got this news and understood the shame and the publicity that would certainly gossip would be spreading about her, yet she was willing to stand up in this difficult time and say, you know what? I'm glad God's using me. Look at verse 46. And we read that this morning in our scripture reading this morning. And Mary, in 46, she said, and Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. Even with all that went on, impossible situation that made no sense to her or anybody else, yet by faith she said, whatever happens, I want to magnify the Lord. I want to make, by the way, magnify the Lord. I think through that, can we make God look big? Can we make God look little? We can, can't we? Simply by our lives. If we believe God can do the impossible, we make God look big, don't we? We pray about impossible things, things that make humanly no sense to ever happen, that we look at and say, I believe God can do this in my life. We make God look big, say, God is a big God. He can do the impossible. But if we never pray for big things, if we never expect God to do miracles in our life, God to do things that humanly seem impossible, we communicate that our God is very small. Mary says, I want to magnify God in my life. I want to make him look as big as he really is. We can't make him look bigger than he is because he's a big God. He's awesome. And we want to make him look as big as he is to the world. And we can do that by our lives. What we think about, what we plan to do, what we ask him to do can make him look very big. And she goes through this expression of great faith in God to say, God is doing great things, and I'm glad to be a part of it. Actually, if you turn over to, verse 47, it says, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. He said, I'm glad to be a part of this. And remember, she was told also that Elizabeth, the angel, entrusted her to say, you know what, your cousin Elizabeth, who couldn't have children, also is expecting. It was just interesting that God said, God trusted her with the news to say, you know what, your cousin is also expecting. What an encouragement, by the way, what an encouragement that would be for her to say, you know what, Elizabeth wasn't able to have a child for years, and now she's old, and she's having a child. Okay, God can do this to me too. God can use me. What a great expression of trust that God had in Mary, and knowing that she would praise the Lord through impossible circumstances. She was a young teenager. She came from a town, remember, that was very unimportant. Nazareth was looked down upon. Remember the disciples, they said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Yeah. Nazareth was not an elite town, not a town that expected any prophet or any unusual thing or any spiritual thing to come out of. Had a lot against her, and yet it is interesting that God does use, I think I'm getting ahead of myself, that points in the next one, but imagine that Mary still praised the Lord and went through this expression of praise to God. It's easier not to give praise to God and to take the credit for a lot of things. Her expression here doesn't sound, it, when you read through it sometime on your own, it doesn't seem forced. You know how sometimes we can conjure up, did you ever have to give an apology to somebody and your heart wasn't in it? But you made up all these words and you knew that it would be good for you if you made an apology. And none of you ever do this, I know. I'm the guilty one that says, you know what, I don't feel really repentant about this and that, but yet I have to go to somebody and to keep peace, I just apologize. There's no heartfelt word. There's no heartfelt in the words that you were saying, but you knew that it was the right thing to do. And so you go do it. This doesn't, if you read through this, this doesn't seem conjured up. This seems like this is just a, just comes out of, flows out of her. And in fact, if you look up Hannah's prayer, when she finds out that she's expecting and the child, Hannah's prayer is almost similar to this. And in fact, every word, every phrase of this can be found in the Psalms somewhere. It is interesting that she knew the scriptures so well that when she had to express praise to God, it just flowed out of her from the wealth of knowing and understanding who God is. Knowing the scriptures and praising God publicly ought to be an expression of every mother. And our mothers can do that. I've seen many mothers, knowing they've gone through difficult times. Mothers have had reasons to cry and shed tears. And Satan would love to destroy godly mothers and homes. And has tried his best to do that. And yet mothers have still stood up and praised God for using them and answering their prayer through very difficult times. Thank God for mothers and their public praise to God. God may be expecting you to do something difficult today. I don't know what that might be. I don't know what God is expecting you to do. Maybe you know something that's saying, you know what, I really feel like God wants me to do this, but it seems impossible. Seems like maybe talking to one of your family members, maybe talking to a neighbor, and you're just saying, I just don't think anything good's going to happen from it. Trust God. Praise God anyway. God may be asking you to do something very difficult, and yet God asked Mary to do something very difficult, to believe God, to trust God. Mothers have that great instinct to praise God. Not only ought we to, oh, by the way, let me just make a good application. I don't know how many of you are on Facebook. We have a Facebook account. I never post anything, never do anything on Facebook, but I'm on there because I want to see that our kids all have Facebook accounts, and they put pictures of the grandkids on. So I have an account so we can see the pictures of our grandkids and what else happening in our family. But I read some of the posts that other people put on, and I'm thinking, they didn't have to say that. Sometimes they complain about how hard life is and how difficult their children are making their lives. Be careful what we do. Mary was that joyful person that praised God and said, you know what, God is using me in a great way. And she rejoiced that God was using her in that way. But not only great mothers believe that God can do the impossible, they believe they're a slave of God, they believe they should praise God publicly, but they also believe that they should live a joyful life. Look at verse 47. And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. There ought to be joy there, which would lead to, of course, praising God publicly. But there ought to be that attitude of deep joy and saying, you know what? I'm happy God is using me. Even in very difficult circumstances, we still ought to have the praise of God on our lips and the joy in our heart, excuse me, to say that, you know what? God is a good God. I never forget something good happened. I've probably shared this with you before. Something good happened in our family when the kids were at home going to school, and something real good happened. I don't remember what it was, but my wife said to one of the children going out the door to school, said, "Isn't God good?" in response to what good thing was happening. I remember one of them turned around and said, "God is always good." It's like, whoops. God is good. Even when bad things happen, God is still good. Like a kind of a rebuke to saying, what were you thinking? Sometimes children have a better handle on those things than we do. But when it says here in verse 28, when it says in verse 28, and the angel came in unto her and said, "Hail thou who art highly favored." Remember, there's some religions who believe that they even pray to Mary as if Mary has the ability to give grace or to answer their prayer, that somehow Mary is endowed with special gifts. This verse tells us that she was given grace, that she didn't have grace, and she can't give that to anyone else, but she was given grace. In fact, later on it says that she, in her expression of praise, she says, "I praise God, my Savior." She knew she needed a Savior. Mary didn't have the inherent now gift of God that she could give to someone else. She needed the Savior to forgive her. She was a sinner and understood her position was lowly, a slave of the Lord. And she understood that just like all of us, we need a Savior. We're all sinners, just like Mary. And we can be used of God, but we need to accept His favor and His grace and mercy. He provided salvation for each of us through His death on the cross, took our penalty. I preached a funeral Friday. I believe it was Friday this week. And I always use the illustration about accepting that pardon that a criminal in years ago was given a pardon by our president. And the prisoner refused that pardon. And they had to decide, would the prisoner die for his crime, for his murder, even though he was pardoned, if he didn't accept it? It went all the way to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court had to decide, is the pardon valid if it's not accepted by the prisoner? And the Supreme Court said the pardon is just a piece of paper. It's only valid when it's accepted by the prisoner. God has pardoned everyone. God has provided salvation for each of us, but each of us must receive that pardon, must say, yes, I believe Jesus died for me, and I accept His forgiveness. Each of us, like Mary, said, I need God, my Savior. She understood that she was a sinner and needed a Savior, but she lived a joyful life. She understood that she needed to praise God, and that, and by the way, look over in verse, let's see if I can find it now. I've got it written down here somewhere. Maybe it's on our paper. Let's see. Treasured. Yes. In chapter 2, verse 19. Flip over to chapter 2, verse 19. You'll remember this. You remember this verse 19. Says, "But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart." You remember that after she heard about the expression of the wise men, what they said. And the shepherds and so forth. And it says, Mary kept all these things. The idea is she treasured them in her heart. Everything that people were saying that about what God was doing with her child and going to do with her child, says she treasured them in her heart. It's like, this is precious. God is using me. I need to be joyful and happy that I'm in the will of God and God is using my life to accomplish His will on earth. The idea there is, yes, she kept them in her heart. She thought about them. She pondered on them. But they were very precious to her. They were held in her heart as part of her ministry and usefulness to God. God honors women of faith from ordinary families. I think that we went over that point before. I got it in the wrong section. But you don't have to be from a royal family to be used of God. No matter where we're from, we can praise God. We can certainly give God credit and allow God to use us in any way he chooses. God honored her life by giving her grace, found favor. God gave her grace. God looked and said, who do I want to use as a mother to bear the Christ child? And Mary, it's like, I know, Mary. Remember they said that about Abraham? I think it was Abraham where God said, I know that Abraham will command his family, his children, to follow me. God just knew. If he was looking for somebody to be the mother of the Son of God, he said, Mary. I pray that would be us. If God was looking for a job to be done in the world, that he would say, I know exactly who that is. Would it be you? Trust it would be. Trust God would say, I know they will be faithful and they will carry out the task. And especially moms who've done miraculous things with children and with their influence in the world. I thank God for that. We honor Mary as the great mother of our Lord. She's a recipient of God's grace, and she wanted everybody to know that. We honor moms today because they believe God could do the impossible. They believe that they're simply a slave of God, that whatever he asks them to do, they're willing to do it. They believe that they should praise God publicly, that they should be very joyful and happy about the ministry of God in their lives and how God is using them. There was a teenager who didn't want to be seen in public with her mother because her mother's arms were all mangled up, all disfigured, and the girl was embarrassed to be with her mother. One day, when her mother took her shopping and reached out her hand to the clerk to pay the bill, the clerk looked horrified to see what her hands and arms looked like. And the girl went home crying how embarrassed she was to be with her mother. Understandably hurt, the mother waited for about an hour before going up to her daughter's room and decided for the first time she would tell her daughter what happened. When you were a baby, I woke up to a burning house. Your room was an inferno. Flames were everywhere. I could have gotten out the front door, but I decided rather to die with you than to leave you die alone. I ran through the fire, wrapped my arms around you, and then I went back through the flames. My arms on fire. When I got outside on the lawn, the pain was agonizing, but when I looked at you, all I could do was rejoice that the flames hadn't touched you. Stunned, the girl looked at her mother, and through her tears, weeping in shame and gratitude, she kissed her mother's marred hands and arms, realizing those wounds were for her. Mothers have done a lot for us, and for that we want to honor them and thank God for using mothers in all of our lives. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, it is with grateful hearts this morning that we celebrate Mother's Day, and we ask your great blessing on their lives today. May they sense and feel our gratitude, and may this day truly be an honor to them. We thank you, our Heavenly Father, for all that you've done in the world, and many times have used mothers who understand that you can do the impossible, and they believe that. We thank you for their faithfulness and believing that. And so, Lord, bless them today. Thank you for them. Thank you for your word and the examples we have in Scripture and the modern day examples we have of mothers and women who have set an example for us to follow. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.